on WGNS AM FM online.
Oh, behave.
It's
a beautiful
day. It's the British voice, Carrie Boylan.
Yeah, baby.
Well, good morning, favorite listeners, and it is a beautiful day here in the WGNS studio. I am so excited to welcome back Tracy Toy from Alive Hospice and Earthel LeGreen from LeGreen Masonry. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, before we get started, though, I have to give a shout out of encouragement to Jessica Link, who was on my show a couple of weeks ago, and she is a really good friend of mine. She's currently competing in the Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic in Ohio, along with several other folks from the local Olympus Athletic Club. Sean Barber is out there as well, supporting his members. You can check out live coverage and footage on bodybuilding.com. And this past Thursday, I attended MTSU basketball three-point play fundraiser for the United Way. And I beat out Brian Hercules for an MTSU hoodie. So proud. Held at Toots Restaurant, I met the men's basketball players and the wonderful Lady Raiders. They are such a nice group of athletes. They really are. It was a great night to raise money for the United Way. And I'd mentioned last week about the community celebration, Tracy, and how Project Help, as a program partner, the stars of the show with the children, and truly grateful for their support. And it goes without saying that media awards were given out, and my favorite award, of course, WGNS, for all they do to support the United Way. So with that being said, Tracy, you're not here really to talk about Alive Hospice today, are you?
I will talk about Alive Hospice, but I'm also here to talk about my involvement in the United Way. As right. you know, and as we've known over years, I've been involved with them for almost 4 years now, and I now serve on the board of directors as the chairman of the board. And we have an upcoming fundraising event sponsored by Tangerine Salon and Spa, our second annual United We Style fashion show, which will be April 13th, Saturday. Doors open at 6:30 for general admission and VIP hour, a cocktail hour, and Carrie Boylan will be there. VIP hour at 5:30. So we're looking forward to that. Tickets are for sale online at unitedway.uwrutherford.org and also at Tangerine Salon and Spa.
Yeah, I actually said to you, you know what, I don't want to be involved. I don't want to be a model. I don't want to be behind the scenes. I actually want to be a spectator.
You would have made a wonderful model, Carrie.
Well, that's okay. There are plenty of other people out there that really know what they're doing. I would probably strut and fall.
No, we have coaches for that. We have people in the community that have just come out because they're interested in supporting the United Way and having a great time. Maybe no experience. We actually have some professional models that have come out. We had a great turnout for our models.
And yeah, I know. You had to go try out for it.
We did. We had tryouts, and we had such a great turnout that we actually had to make selections, and it felt terrible to tell people that they weren't selected. There were so many beautiful, wonderful people who wanted to give back. So it was a really exciting thing for us, and we're looking forward to it. We have new up-and-coming fashion designers. It'll be a wonderful, exciting show. Yeah. We've reached out to students in the MTSU textiles department. So we have that. We have a Moore College of Design students. We have actually people that are now designers that are just getting their line started that are going to be creating some specifically for our show.
Oh my gosh.
It's fun. And then we also have the support of Trendy Pieces and Bella's Boutique and Dillard's. So it'll be a fabulous night. Last year we did a great job. We really controlled our cost and we were able to give back more than $7,000 in investing into the community, which made a huge difference in the United Way. So we made a lot of differences in a lot of lives, and we were able to talk about the United Way while having a great night.
Well, I've seen pictures of what it looks like on Facebook, and I think one of the things that makes it just a little bit different from some of the other fashion shows that we all love and attend for all of the great causes, and a quick shout out to the Beasley Animal Foundation, because that one's coming up pretty soon, and that's being co-chaired by a couple of friends of mine, Penny and Mary Lucy, so I just want to give a shout out for that. But this one, you put a little bit of a twist on it, because it's
edgy.
Yeah.
Edgy, but it's not just for your young crowd. We had a wide variety of guest attendance last year, but we went over the top with what we did because we were able to bring in professional lighting, professional sound. We had a lot of services that were donated. So we have a lot of connections in the community and outside of the community, and we're able to get these resources at low or minimal or no cost. We had a catwalk out there, and we actually took raw space at the Gateway Village that they donated to us. And again, this year it will be at the Gateway Village.
You will be at the Gateway again. Great.
We will. They donated space. We had about 8,000 square feet of just raw, what we would almost look like as commercial industrial space.
Right.
And converted it to this fabulous, fabulous looking, exciting area. We had fabric billowing from the ceilings. We had special lighting for that. We had paper lanterns hanging. It was just amazing. We had, you know, cocktails available. We had vendor shopping available. It's just a really fun night, and it is. It's different. All of the seats are great. The VIP hour, I definitely recommend it.
Do I need to set up a cab to go home?
You may, because the VIP hour, the special guests of the VIP hour, they do have unlimited drinks, and we won't let you leave intoxicated.
No.
You would never do that.
It's all right, LaGreen. We're just talking about girl talk.
Girl talk. Great girls' night out. Great date night. It's not just for women. We had plenty of men there, and we actually have quite a few male models, as we did last year, too, which I think excited a lot of people, and they were surprised to see. It's just a lot of fun. It's a wonderful way to support your community and have a great evening.
Well, I can't say enough good things about the United Way, you know that. But that being said, are you having a silent auction? Are you doing anything sort of around the edge of the stage beforehand? People, you had said that some of the local vendors will be there.
What we are.
Auction?
We do. We have a silent auction. We have some higher end items that are kind of exciting. I'm not going to give that away in advance. Those are secrets. As well as we do have some special VIP guests that are attending that we've gotten their time reserved, and they're going to come and visit during our VIP hours. That's another reason to get a VIP ticket. And we have the cocktail hour, we have butler hors d'oeuvres for the VIP ticket holders, and the vendor shopping. What we do is we have it set up around the stage. There's plenty of room to walk around, cocktail tables set up for people to just chat. And with the vendors, you can just shop with that 50 people that are there, as opposed to the 300, that the crowd that we're expecting. We had a sellout crowd last year of about 250, and we're expecting 300 this year.
That's a lot.
It is.
How many people are on your committee?
Five now.
Five? Mm-hmm. Five of you are going to coordinate this.
Five of us have coordinated this.
This is amazing, Tracy.
It is, and it's a great way to support United Way. And as you know, I work with the Live Hospice. It's one of the organizations with United Way. So it's just important to us with the Live Hospice that United Way does have support from the community. And I think United Way makes a difference here. It makes a difference in a lot of lives. And I'm proud to be involved in both organizations.
Well, ditto. I mean, because Project Health, of course, is a partner program, and we would not be able to do what we do with the kiddos over at Project Health if it wasn't for the generosity of our community and the fact that the United Way is such a good steward of the community money. I'm very proud to say I'm involved with them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We're very transparent. And you were talking about the community celebration that we had with the awards given out. And the award for WGNS was wonderful. And also
VIP and DNJ.
It's true.
All of them.
And I am proud to say, having co-chaired the event last year for the fashion show, that the fashion show United We Style did take home Special Event of the Year award, which was exciting.
I know. I was the one that was going whoop, whoop in the background. That was me.
I heard you. It was a great event. And I think that we exceeded our goal. You know, We have raised more money this year than we ever have, $3.2 million, and that is just amazing with the generosity of our community.
Impressive.
That we could not do without all the people like you, Carrie, and like you, that'll talk about the United Way and what we do and what difference we make in the lives of our neighbors and our friends. You would never think that, a lot of us think that it's for the indigent or it's not for people that we know personally, and I always thought, too, the same thing until I got involved. And again, now I have to go back and say, yes, I've received services, you know, related to United Way because of my mother needing hospice services last year. And the organization I chose was Alive Hospice, and they are a partner agency of the United Way.
That's right. It's a big deal.
It is.
But we're very curious as to why Earthel is in the studio today. When I found out about this young man and what he had done to pave the way for people like Tracy and I use that very small, because what you have done when you were a young man in high school, I'd like you to share your story. I really would like you to share your story. I'm honored to have you in the studio, as I'm honored to have Tracy,
of course.
But,
well, let me start by kind of painting a picture of what it was like in Savannah, Georgia during the 50s and the 60s. Now, when the civil rights movement, you know, got going real heavy in Savannah in the 60s, I were in high school at that time. And growing up as a kid in Savannah, I could never understand why when I got on the bus, I had to go all the way to the back of the bus.
I wouldn't have understood that either. You know, I don't get that.
And I'm passing all these empty seats, and I got to go to the back. And then if I'm in the back and a white person got on, I had to get up and give him my seat. You know? And I thought that was atrocious. And I got involved because I know one day I wanted to get married and have kids, and I wanted a better life for them, you know? And I wanted to change the conditions in Savannah. One day I sat down and I spoke with my grandmother, and we were talking about how much she earned a day. And she told me she earned $5 a day. And she kept the kids, and she cooked, and she cleaned the house for this white family. And I say, you know, this is not slavery, but this is not a long ways away from it.
Right.
How can you make it on $25 a week, you know? And that was my reason for getting involved. And I have a lot of respect for a gentleman by the name of Jose Williams. Because Jose Williams was a close lieutenant of Martin Luther King.
Okay.
And Jose is the one who spearheaded the movement in Savannah.
Okay.
Now, as fate, circumstance would have it, Jose was a chemist. So Jose really already was living the good life, if we want to say that. He didn't need to rock the boat.
Okay.
But he spearheaded the movement in Savannah. He was a chemist. He had a part-time business collection agency. And I don't know how I managed to get a job there working there, but I was working for him. So when the movement got going, I was glad to participate in it for the reason I just stated, you know. And not only for my kids and the future generation, I just thought the things that I saw was humiliating to have two drinking fountains, and I got a drink at the one that say colored. And two bathrooms, and I got to go in the one that say color.
I have to say that when I came to the United States back in the 80s, I was in a small town called Fort Walton Beach.
Okay.
And everybody knows Fort Walton Beach, and I was confused because there was some of that there. I mean, it wasn't, I don't think people actually divided in that sense, but there were definitely bathrooms that said colored and white. And
yeah.
I was like, are you kidding?
But in Savannah, everything was separated. I mean, the housing. As a little boy, my mom would tell me where I needed to stop at, you know. And so housing, I don't care. Jose, being a chemist, probably earned pretty good money. I never asked him how much. But he still had to stay in his boundaries. And so you couldn't... housing was segregated. Schools were segregated. The school that I went to was all black. We did not have the proper facility. I was the captain of the track team, but we didn't have a track.
Oh.
And so we just run on, you know, just we just ran on the field.
Okay.
You know? And did pretty good with it because I was state champ 2 years in a row.
Wow.
But the point is that there was discrimination. I would go in a restaurant, and I couldn't sit at the counter. I can go at the inn and order my food, but I had to go outside to find some place to eat. So if it's raining outside, what am I going to do here? Why can't I sit at the counter like everyone else, you know?
All right.
I'm an American. I'm a citizen.
Yeah, you are.
You know? And so, again, the theaters were segregated. You know, there could be a good movie showing over here that I want to go see, but I can't go. I had to go to the one black theater that we had in Savannah. The hotels and motels were segregated. So when we go traveling, you know, we have to find some place to sleep in the car or whatever. And I always thought that was ridiculous. I used to laugh at my mother because she would, when we going on the trip, she would have a shoebox and she put food in it, fry some chicken and put it in. And I say, why are we doing all this? Now I realize we couldn't go in the restaurant and eat, you know? And of course, my mom did the same kind of work, that my grandmom did, just so she wasn't earning a lot of money, too. That was the second reason for doing it. So anyway, everything, again, was segregated. The police department had no blacks. The fire department had no blacks. The political office, no blacks. Employment situation, like at the local stores, mostly Caucasian people worked there, and no blacks were allowed. So I was glad to get involved. And when Dr. King came to Savannah to speak, I would turn the rallies. And by the way, the black churches played a very important role in the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have no place to meet.
Well, it was biblically based.
Yeah.
Absolutely biblically based. It's my understanding, please correct me if I'm wrong, but this was all peaceful demonstrations.
Yeah, this was all nonviolent.
Nonviolent.
Dr. King, I mean, one of the things they taught us at the very beginning, that we cannot use violence. If someone slap you, you got to turn the other cheek.
Mm-hmm.
And someone expectorate in your face, you're just going to have to eat it up, you know.
Right.
Not eat it up. I don't like that terminology. But you're just going to have to take it.
Yeah,
because you can't, because the police was not your friend.
No.
You know. And so for example, one of the ways that we went about trying to change things in a nonviolent way, mm-hmm. we would picket.
Yes.
You know, and we'll have signs that ask people, please do not shop here. Please don't go to this hotel because they don't allow blacks here. And then we would do sit-ins.
Right.
And for example, if we were trying to integrate a lunch counter, we would sit there. And of course, you'll sit there and they would say, now, if you don't get up, we don't serve blacks here. If you don't get up, we're going to call the police. And sure enough, they will, and the police will come and take us to jail. But we had to make those sacrifices to change things. You know, and now I think about it, it really benefit not just black people. It benefit white people, too.
Oh, absolutely.
How could you throw all that money away?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Me, yeah. As a businessman, I would want anybody. Man. They don't ask me who I got it from when I get to the bank, you know?
Right.
And so I think the things we did made a tremendous change. Savannah, but it was a very scary time. My mom pleaded with me, don't get involved, because she was afraid.
I was waiting for that to happen,
yeah.
Because your mother wants to protect you,
yeah.
And she knew that you had
she
a cause.
She knew the danger.
Yes.
And being young, I didn't conceive
you were
the danger. Yeah, you know, and I'm just thinking, oh, we're going to change this. But it got very rough, because when the police get there, they don't handle you gently, you know?
No.
And they roughen you up a little and throw you in there. And then when we got there, we would refuse bond. We would refuse bond, you know, and say, you know, we're not going anywhere until you change these conditions. And just before my time, let me run one other quick thing. I led a movement one day in Savannah, what we call a lay-in.
Uh-huh.
And we went on a viaduct that lead to downtown Savannah, and we waited till the busiest time of the day. And this is to try to dramatize the conditions.
Of course,
now,
yeah.
You know. And I led this group, and then they laid right across the street to block traffic. And that was extremely scary, and I always remember, because some people will pull right up to their head like they're going to hit them, and calling us all kind of names, like the end name. And
wow.
If you don't get out of the way, you know, I'm going to blow your brain out and all those kind of things. So, but let me throw one other quick thing in there, too. I want to emphasize that doing that, there was always white ministers and other.
I know it wasn't just black people.
It wasn't just black.
No.
And I realized that things would not have changed if the hearts of people didn't change, you know.
Well, you've paved the way for people like Tracy to be inspired to do all that she does for the United Way, and you've inspired me so much, Arthur. Yeah. I am so grateful that you took time out of your busy schedule, because I know you are very much in demand, and we're so glad you came. I'm so glad you came.
Well,
I'm
so
glad
you
came, Tracy. Well, you can come back anytime, because you can be my guy day Friday anytime. Tracy, you know you're always welcome here in the studio.
And I'm very pleased to meet you, too. It's an honor to have been in the same room with you here.
Yeah, I know. Very inspirational. Both of you. Both of you.
You too, Carrie.
Okay, Carrie. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Yes.